Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Rovner, the third member of the panel, is going to participate by speakerphone. So our first case for argument, World Outreach. Mr. Mock.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. There are three elephants in this courtroom regarding this case. The first is that this case began with a hostile rezoning by the city and the aldermen against the church, and the legal effect of this hostile rezoning was to prohibit all uses of the former YMCA as a practical matter, because they made it into a manufacturing zone, except to continue what the YMCA had always been doing, a legal nonconforming use.
Mr. Mock, this is Judge Rovner. You're arguing that the M1 zoning expressly prohibits community centers and religious assemblies. But
yeah.
It sounds like World Outreach is up and running its community center and church, and the zoning is M1-1. So how could it be impossible to operate in M1-1 zoning if you're doing that now?
It's only possible if you're grandfathered, if you have a legal nonconforming use. If you were legal at one time, you're allowed to continue. That's the only exception.
So, but you are. I mean, you're running, right?
Well, the city prohibited us from running for about 2 years because they said we had to have a license for the single-room occupancy. The community center use we began immediately after buying the property, but the housing use for the 160 units, we needed a separate license, and that was continually denied by the city on the basis that you're not zoned for it, you can't operate this, you must have a special use permit, which was legally impossible to obtain.
I think your most serious problem is your failure to appeal to the Zoning Board of Appeals. That's kind of incomprehensible to me.
Well, we did not appeal for a number of reasons. First of all, we attempted to work this out through FEMA.
That's not a reason. So what are your other reasons for not appealing?
The zoning administrator had no jurisdiction. We were turned down for a business license.
So you have a lot of grounds of appeal, so why didn't you appeal?
There was no appeal possible. There is no appeal procedure when a business license is turned down. If it had been turned down by the zoning administrator, then there was jurisdiction.
There's no judicial remedy if this is the single-room occupancy license that was turned down?
Yes.
Had no judicial or administrative remedy against a turndown of a license?
We absolutely had a judicial remedy.
Yeah, well.
And we took that, but we weren't going to take that. But the city sued us in December 2005. So once we were sued...
You didn't want to take... I don't understand. Your license is turned down. You want a license. Your application is turned down. You want a license. So why don't you pursue a judicial remedy?
We did. We have. This court is that judicial remedy, Your Honor.
Not this court. No. If you're turned down for a city license, you have judicial remedies in the state court system. That's what you're supposed to pursue.
Yes, we did, and the city removed this case, the state court case, to the federal court. So this case is here because it was the city that...
What precluded you from going to the Zoning Board of Appeals? I don't understand that.
There was no decision by the zoning administrator to appeal. The business license department said, you need to prove to us your... they said you have to get a special use permit, actually, and we couldn't get a special use permit. It was legally impossible. However, we might eventually have gotten there, but the city...
Why didn't you go to the board and let them tell you that it was legally impossible?
because the code's very clear. M1 does not allow a special use for a community center. And it was like going and saying Barack Obama can't go in the White House because he can't prove that it's always been a White House. The city, and this is the second elephant, Your Honor, the city had all these records. They issued a single-room occupancy license probably for 80 years. The aldermen knew it, and the city was inspecting constantly. They sent dozens, literally, of inspectors out there. They all knew that this was a YMCA and that it was a single-room occupancy.
Well, there's plenty of evidence that the city was deliberately standing in your way. But what is the significance of that under this statute, that their actions were deliberate here?
That was a substantial burden. It doesn't even have to be deliberate.
Does that increase the burden that it's intentional?
Well, if it's intentional, that increases it. To make it legally impossible to insist that you have to, even to this day, the city is not admitting that they were insisting on a legal impossibility. If you look at page 50 of their brief, they have a footnote, if I could call the court's attention to that, where they say, on page 51, we shouldn't assume the city ever insisted on a wrong position, and that we should not suggest that they admitted wrongdoing. Well, they're not admitting wrongdoing even to this day. They've horsed everybody around.
You know, I have the same problem, because it seems to me you would have had a much better claim, or maybe a more right claim, if you had followed the steps the city demanded, you know, such as seeking the special use permit or appealing to the zoning board. I really do understand, Ms. Ruck, your view that those things should not have been required or would have been futile. Why not give the city an opportunity to correct any mistakes before going to court about all of it?
Well, there's two answers to this. First of all, before we had even bought the property, a week or two before, or not more than 30 days before, the aldermen began the hostile rezoning to make this a manufacturing district. Theoretically, we could still have applied for a special use permit during a couple-month period prior to the city council finalizing that. But we have alleged, and I filed an affidavit with the court, that it is the policy of the city zoning board of appeals not to grant a special use permit if the alderman has already introduced an ordinance to rezone the property.
You regard that as an illegal policy. Let me see if I understand this. Your view is that since this was a non-conforming use that had been going on for all these years, you didn't need a special use permit or anything. You could just do it, and you didn't need a single-room occupancy license. Isn't that your view?
No, we agree that we had to have a single-room occupancy license.
Why isn't that encompassed by a non-conforming use, since the YMCA used these rooms for single-room occupancy?
The zoning aspect is encompassed. Single-room occupancy requires all sorts of inspections and approvals and all sorts of licensure of the personnel. The desk clerks have to be past certain tests, and so that licensing, we believe, is appropriate. One of the aspects of that is that you have to be properly zoned. The zoning aspect doesn't apply. That's why I use the White House analogy.
So your only concern really is the denial of the SRO license, right? If you'd gotten the SRO license, you would have been fine.
Yeah, and we got it eventually when the city dropped its insistence that we get a special use permit, their insistence that we do something that was legally impossible.
Now, when you say insisted that you get a special use permit, couldn't you just ignore that since you didn't need a special use permit, or were they going to lock the doors on you, or what?
The business department said we will not issue the SRO license, and we could have been fined enormous amounts of money and they could have locked the doors on us for operating without a license. They tied that in to the zoning.
Okay, so you're saying they told you you couldn't have the license unless you applied for a special use permit, and you said you didn't have to apply, but you could have applied.
There was a period of time where we could have applied, but there is, as you I think properly characterize it, an illegal policy that they would not make any decision to grant a special use permit as long as a rezoning by the alderman was pending. So
that you could have challenged in court, right? You did challenge in court.
And we did challenge. And we could have done all of these things, but they sued us in December. So a very short time after we tried to politically negotiate. We brought in FEMA. We thought maybe they'll listen to FEMA. They ignored us. They ignored FEMA. And then before we could make any of these other choices, they sued us. Once they sued us, we said, all right, we're going to make our argument in court. And we're still making it to this day that we don't have to get a special use permit when the zoning ordinance expressly prohibits it and the city has all these voluminous
records.
Well,
they concede that, don't they, now, that you don't need a special use permit?
If you look at page 51 of their...
I understand, but you are operating, right? So presumably yes. they're not trying to prevent you. You never got a special use permit.
We never did, and we never had to.
You are operating your facility, so...
Yes, we are.
You don't want injunctive relief. So doesn't that mean the state has effectively conceded your position?
Yes, we think so, although they continue to argue they never did anything wrong.
Well, the reason you're here now is because you want to get back this money you didn't get from FEMA.
Money and attorney's fees, and people are trying to help in these very poor neighborhoods where there's all this violence, and the churches and social service organizations can't do it if the aldermen and the city are going to keep hammering on them like they have been.
But wouldn't the FEMA contract have been pretty remote from the religious activities of your client?
I mean, I think that's a great question. These type of services are handled all the time by secular organizations. Religious organizations feel they are doing it for God's sake and in the name of God. So you can give a cup of cold water to somebody, or you can give it in Jesus' name, and then we feel we're giving it in Jesus' name. So it's religious.
Is there an effort to convert the people?
Certainly hoped that people will see Jesus, and there's no compulsion, but there will be literature around and other availability.
Are religious services in the same building with the single room occupancy, or is that a separate facility?
It's one building, and it is partly a community center. I believe that a number of churches do meet there on Sundays, small groups, different groups. And there are all kinds of activities in the community center that would be available, but just optional for the residents of the single room occupancy.
You know, this is a little off center, but it's something that's been bothering me because talking about religion, I'm a little perplexed by your insistence that the YMCA is not a religious organization, when you also argue that your proposed use of the property is identical to the YMCA had, and your use is religious in nature. Can you explain to me why that isn't an inconsistent argument?
Yes, we don't believe that the YMCA is a religious organization. They may have been at one time. It has to do with why they're doing things, and we don't think
Why does it matter? Because if they discriminate, if YMCA is religious and it discriminating in its favor against another religious group, your clients, that's a violation of all these pre-exercise related statutes, isn't it? So it's not.
Yes, it really boils down to if they're religious and we're religious, we should be treated the same. And if they're a non-religious and we're religious, they should also be treated the same. We pled they were non-religious, but we never got to go into discovery and really establish those facts,
this is kind of a routine offering of the YMCA, isn't it? This kind of...
We don't know which things the YMCA sponsored and which they just allowed community groups to come in.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mock. Mr. Powell?
Mr. Sturgill was going to... take 3 of our minutes for Department of Justice.
Mr. Sturgill, fine.
Good morning. May it please the Court, I'm Lowell Sturgill from the Department of Justice representing the United States. We intervened in this appeal for the limited purpose of defending the constitutionality of the RLUIPA statutes the city has challenged. We think the Court doesn't need to reach those questions because the District Court didn't address RLUIPA's constitutionality, nor was it presented below. And also, as the plaintiffs point out in their brief, they have a claim under the Illinois Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which they say would give them full relief. And we think the Court shouldn't be addressing federal constitutional claims until somebody determines whether the plaintiffs have a right under the state statute, which wouldn't raise the same kinds of questions. If you do address RLUIPA's constitutionality, I think the first point is it seems like under the River of Life case, which we sent in as a 28-J letter, which Judge Kennedy, you were on the panel, of course, it seems like the city, based on its letter, is now no longer pursuing its constitutional challenge to the equal terms provision of RLUIPA, but maybe they know more about that, but that's the way I read their letter. And that leaves the substantial burden section of RLUIPA, which we believe is constitutional because it codifies existing free exercise clause jurisprudence. And this Court said as much in the St. Constantine case. We think the Court was right. The Ninth Circuit said the same thing in the Guru and Anat case. And I could talk about that at more length if you're interested, but otherwise we're willing to rest on our briefs and let you talk about the rest of the case.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sturgill. So, Mr. Powell?
Morning, may it please the Court. Under the Chicago Zoning Ordinance, the concept of a lawful nonconforming use gives the purchaser of property the right to continue the use of the property
I don't understand. So they're using their building for single room occupancy and so on. So it looks as if you've been yanking them around, and there was no basis, was there, for denying their SRO license?
Your Honor, I believe there was. The zoning at the time that they sought the SRO license, which requires zoning approval among other approvals from various city departments, was a B district. And in that district, a community center is a special use, requires a special use permit. And that is the applicable standard.
Now, what kind of a zoning are you talking about?
Your Honor, a business district, a B zoning. This is
not about manufacturing.
That's right. This is before the rezoning to manufacturing.
But it was rezoned to manufacturing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Your Honor, in November 2005.
What was that about? Was this building actually going to be converted to a factory?
Not that I know of, Your Honor. I'm not.
Well then, what was going on?
Well,
why was it rezoned to manufacturing?
The alderman may have had other plans for the site, for the
property.
What do
you mean other plans? If for manufacturing means a factory. Now, if there isn't going to be a factory there, what is the purpose of the rezoning?
To allow for a factory to be there.
But you say there were never any plan for a factory.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, what
how can you have a manufacturing district which consists of one building? Are there any other one-building zones in Chicago?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, it looks as if this is completely irresponsible government harassment, which you've acknowledged because they're in there with their single-room occupancy. Despite the rezoning, despite all this fuss about the special use permit, they had a non-conforming use which was identical to what the YMCA had been doing for 80 years. And they've lost, they lost money because of that. So I don't know what your argument is.
Well, Your Honor, our argument is that they believe they had a non-conforming use. certainly does.
Well, I certainly believe it too, because they're being allowed to operate their you know, religious activity, including the single room occupancy.
Once they submitted all the documents the zoning department believed were required, the zoning department did sign off on the SRO.
Well, that was 2 years later, though.
That's correct, but even plaintiffs admit in their complaint.
The non-conforming use, that's about as routine a doctrine as I can think of in zoning. I mean, how could you claim that that's an innocent mistake, that you didn't think that the non-conforming use was in compliance with the law? I don't see how that could possibly be innocent.
Well, Your Honor,
it had to be intentional, it seems to me.
Your Honor, the reason that I don't agree with that
is
that...
You're not talking about some esoteric doctrine that somebody's got to look up a lot of law on. This is pretty routine stuff.
Yes, but even plaintiffs say that the YMCA operated this SRO for 80 years, and there's a provision under the zoning ordinance that a nonconforming use can lapse after 18 months if it's not used during that period. There had to be some proof that this was continuously used in this fashion by the YMCA, and that World Outreach, in fact, intended to use it, as had the YMCA, their planned use.
They need a special use permit. So what is this proof here? I mean, you told them, you personally, obviously, you told them, the city told them they needed a special use permit, which they didn't. Now you're saying, well, but they were supposed to provide some kind of proof of continuous use. Now, where is that? Where is that?
Well,
also, discovery wasn't permitted, was there?
It was not permitted.
12b-6.
That's correct.
Well, why don't they have an opportunity to show that this was indeed intentional discrimination against this group? Because, you know, it's some new religion. It's not the YMCA. It's not as respectable. So the city decided, you know, Alderman Beal and so on decided, well, we'll pull a fast one on them. We'll rezone it manufacturing, then they're out. How do we know that, since there hasn't been discovery? How do we know that's not what's going on here?
And surely they have a right to have discovery into Alderman Beal's alleged business dealings with whoever it was. You've really put World Outreach in the middle of some bizarre circular logic when you insist on a special use permit, even though, as you conceded, the rezoning to M11 foreclosed a special use permit. You know, the whole thing has a certain taint to it, and it really makes me, for one, feel very uncomfortable.
Well, Your Honor, I'm sorry if that's the impression we've given. The special use requirement, when it was made in August 2005, was not incorrect, though. That was the applicable requirement unless a lawful nonconforming use had been proven. And again, the code says that it's the owner's burden to prove.
But I don't understand. You're suggesting there's another procedural hurdle here that if they don't want to, if they don't apply for a special use permit because it is continuing a non-conforming use, that they have to submit proof of some sort. So where is this codified? Is this some informal requirement or what? I don't recall it. Maybe it's in the briefs and I've forgotten it or never saw it. But I don't get that. It seems like a new issue being injected by you.
Oh, I don't mean to suggest that, Your Honor.
By the district judge.
The district judge did note that the zoning ordinance puts the burden on the property owner to prove a lawful nonconformity as opposed to a violation of the zoning ordinance.
Well, what is the procedure? Suppose you buy, there's this lawful nonconforming use done by X, and then Y comes along and buys it and continues using it in the identical way. Does he have to ask for some kind of authorization to continue?
No, Your Honor, but in a situation where he's required to show there's lawful nonconforming
use. But what is this requirement to show? Is this some procedure? If I buy a building that is operating nonconforming use, I have to get some kind of permission? What? Where is that?
You don't need permission in that circumstance, but...
What are we talking about? If you don't need permission, why do you have to submit anything?
Well, without more, you don't need more permission. But the reason this came up...
What's the more without more? What are you talking about?
Applying for an SRO license brings the proprietor, whether the zoning is proper for this use before
the
zoning department.
Oh, I understand that. Correct. But what about the special use permit? And, or you're talking about this proof? Suppose they didn't ask for an SRO license. Suppose we didn't. They just want to operate a church there. Would they have had to do anything?
To operate a church, they would need a special use permit.
But why would? But no. But they're just doing what the YMCA was doing.
To the extent that the YMCA was operating a church there, that's correct. I mean, what, by allowing religious organizations to hold services in the building.
So are you? So you're saying that, I don't understand. Suppose they didn't want the SRO license. Would they have had to do anything in relation to the city, or could they just take over the facility and operate it?
They could take over the facility and operate it. But when a suit was filed, enforcement action under the zoning ordinance...
What's the basis for an enforcement action?
That they were not properly zoned. They weren't complying
properly
with the zoning.
Properly zoned, but it's not the issue of zoning. It's the issue of the SRO. I don't understand you. They don't need the proper zoning if it's a non-conforming use. You said if they hadn't been interested in single-room occupancy, if they'd just taken over the building from the YMCA, they could have operated it, and they wouldn't have needed a special use permit. So what would be the basis of an enforcement action?
I think maybe I misspoke. If they had taken it over, forget the SRO, and just wanted to operate the community center, before the rezoning, they would have needed a special use permit unless they demonstrated a lawful nonconforming use.
That's unless they demonstrated what?
A lawful nonconforming use.
But that gets back to my question. What is this requirement that when you take over someone's nonconforming use, you have to prove something? Where's that? That's what I'm missing. I thought if it's a lawful nonconforming use and you're continuing the identical use of your predecessor, you just do it. You don't need a special use permit, right?
The zoning ordinance says...
Do you need a special use permit in that situation?
No, special
then
use
what
permit
do you
situation.
Then what do you need?
The zoning ordinance says that the owner has a right... that a nonconforming use passes with the land. It runs with the land. But it also says that the burden to show a nonconformity is on the owner.
But that suggests there's some procedure that when you take over someone's lawful nonconforming use, you say you have a burden. Well, does that mean you have to apply for something? Or what? What's the burden?
That's probably the better course to apply for it.
How do you rather apply? Than wait. Apply for what?
Apply to the zoning administrator for determination that there is
applying
a lawful...
Applying for a determination?
Yes.
Where is that? Is that a codified procedure or is that some informal thing?
It's purely probably the better course rather than waiting for an enforcement action.
Yeah, but as I understand the facts, that's not what you told them at the time. You told them they needed a special use permit. I mean, we're jumping from one subject to another, it seems to me.
That's because at the time that they applied, unless they had a nonconforming use and demonstrated
well,
that...
Well, they obviously had a nonconforming use, didn't they? I mean, is there anything mysterious about that? This was a sort of a dormitory for single...
It's people. The same nonconforming use that the Y had.
World Outreach said it was the same. The city didn't have to take their word at that, though. They had, again, a burden to prove it. And to show that the YMCA had a lawful nonconforming use.
Why did the city think it didn't have? Why did the city bring the enforcement action?
Because they did not have a special use permit, and had not demonstrated.
They didn't need a special use permit, so how could they bring an enforcement action? Because they didn't have a permit that wasn't required.
Well, they didn't obtain it when they could have, and then after that.
They could have. They didn't need it. You don't have, I don't understand you. They didn't need a special use permit. So what was the basis for the enforcement action?
That they had not demonstrated lawful nonconforming use to show that they hadn't shown that they were properly.
So you're saying that every time someone takes over lawful nonconforming use, the city brings enforcement action?
Oh, no, Your Honor. But this became an issue because they applied for an SRO, which
they didn't. So the enforcement action was not brought until after the SRO was denied or applied for, or what?
Applied for and denied.
Well, if it was denied, why'd they have to bring an enforcement action?
Because there was still the community center that was being operated in the meantime. The community center is.
There was no issue about the community center.
Well, there was at the time because it would have required. Well, before the rezoning to manufacturing, it would have required a special use permit, unless it was a lawful nonconforming use.
The special use permit? You keep bringing it back. We've agreed it's not required.
It's not required to the extent that they showed it doesn't apply because they had a lawful nonconforming use.
But look, you deny the SRO license. Fine, that's the end of that. What was the basis for the enforcement action?
I believe it was because they did not have a special use permit.
But they didn't need a special use permit.
But they hadn't demonstrated that they did not need it.
But you don't bring an enforcement suit every time someone takes over a nonconforming use.
That's
so
why
did you do it here? What was your basis for thinking that their community center operation wouldn't be a lawful nonconforming use? You'd have to have some basis for thinking that in order to bring an enforcement action.
I don't know the answer to that. I do.
There was no basis.
Well, the action was voluntarily dismissed. We didn't proceed to.
Why did you? Why was it voluntarily dismissed?
I'm not aware of the reasons, but it did not proceed in any way to a.
Why was it voluntarily dismissed?
Your Honor, I do not know that.
Why isn't that a suitable inquiry for discovery, to see whether you dismissed it because you knew it was just a harassment suit?
Well, Your Honor.
And you're still insisting in your brief that there was a basis for your enforcement action.
Well, Your Honor.
No, there wasn't any.
Well, there may have been a basis. I'm not aware of it.
Well, then why was it voluntarily dismissed? Well, why don't we find that out?
Well, Your Honor, the.
Why don't we pick up the stone and look at what little ugly creatures are crawling around underneath, orchestrating this campaign of harassment? Well, maybe it's not a campaign of harassment, but since there's been no discovery, we don't know. It just looks fishy.
Your Honor, the enforcement action, World Outreach does not allege the enforcement action by itself imposed a substantial burden on their religion. It didn't cause a delay in the SRO licensing process. At least that's not their allegation. And their claim is really about delay. They got the SRO license and
delay and expense in dealing with these unnecessary proceedings.
Right. Look at the mess everyone is in right now.
Well, that mess, though, it leaves aside the fact that World Outreach did not appeal to the ZBA, and counsel has said for the first time today.
What was there to appeal? I don't understand. What would their appeal have been?
The zoning department had determined that they needed a special use permit as part of its review of the SRO license. That determination could have been taken to the ZBA. It should have been taken to the ZBA if they really wanted to move this process forward. Instead, they waited.
What good would the special use permit do them since they didn't have their SRO license?
Well, they could have argued that they didn't need a special use permit because they had lawful nonconforming use. This is to the ZBA. And had the ZBA agreed, They could have gone back to the zoning administrator and said, we are properly zoned, and the licensing, presumably the SR licensing process would have proceeded. And the other departments would have had their review, and this would have resolved the problem.
Why wasn't a perfectly good alternative to appeal, to challenge the SRO, the denial of the SRO license in court on the theory that since no special use permit was required, the denial was improper? Why wasn't that a perfectly good way to proceed?
Well, they could have done that.
They did do that.
Well, they brought a claim for declaratory relief, essentially saying that because of their religion, they were entitled to operate this as, they were denied the opportunity to operate the SRO as a lawful non-conforming use. And that was one of nine counts. It was not pursued until April of 2006, months after they applied for an SRO license, and it was denied in August 2005. And when the city responded to their motion to dismiss, or moved to dismiss that case, that claim, it construed it in a way that it was as not a claim for declaratory relief under state law, and that wasn't contested. That was never resolved.
Why isn't this an equal protection violation? You treated them entirely differently than you did the YMCA, and they're both, it seems to me, quite comparable.
Well, Your Honor, they really aren't similarly situated. I mean, the Wyatt owned the property and operated there, according to the plaintiff's allegations, for 80 years, more than 80 years. And when World Outreach applied...
So what?
Well, when the World Outreach applied for the SRO license, it had been there on the property for 2 months.
Well, so what?
Well,
you said this. You said these rights run with the land.
Yes, but the transfer of property from an owner who's owned it for decades to a new owner is a logical point to assess.
Well, that's ridiculous. So I've owned my house for 40 years. So if I sold the house, what, the city comes running in and says, well, boy, Posner owned it for 40 years. You've only owned it for 2 months. I think we'll have to do a very careful inspection and so on. Is that how the city operates?
Oh, no, Your Honor.
What's the magic about the YMCA having been there for 80 years?
Zoning inspectors can't be everywhere all the time. And
what does the 80 years have to do with it?
Because this had apparently been the
is
same...
Is something suspicious about the World Outreach Conference?
Oh, no, Your Honor. I didn't mean to suggest that. But the same use for 80-odd years strongly suggests that there is... That the use is lawful.
It doesn't suggest anything to me, I must say. A lot changes in 80 years.
Well, and with the new owner, though, there's just not simply...
Well, that's always true when there's a sale, right? I don't know what you're talking about. Every time there's a sale, you have a new owner.
That's correct. It's not so much about the sale, it's about the use that they wanted to engage in.
The use is the same as their predecessor's use.
That's what they said. They had to prove it.
They have to prove it? I don't understand.
God.
I really don't understand.
Well, there's not any evidence that it wasn't the same, is there?
Not that I'm aware of. But it wasn't the city's burden to piece all together all the documents showing that.
But if they had... But I think what you're saying is there never was any basis for the enforcement action or for the denial of the SRO. There's never any basis at all.
Well, I think the basis was that they hadn't carried their burden under
this
the...
This is a remarkable argument, which is that the city can bring enforcement actions, deny licenses, do anything in order to put the applicant to its burden, even though there's absolutely no basis for thinking that there is any irregularity. That would really clog the arteries of commerce. Bring enforcement action every time a building is sold to prove that the new owner is conforming to regulations?
How do you think we should factor in the alderman's interest in all of this?
Well, whatever the Alderman Beals or Alderman Banks' motives, but no showing, no allegation that the city council shared that animus or hostility.
He's part of the city council.
He is, but there's in Section 1983 cases,
well,
there's a
requirement. What about this argument there's some kind of aldermanic courtesy that would allow him to block any special use permit?
I believe that allegation was made in the complaint. There's an affidavit which relates to something
entirely different.
Context. It wasn't attached to the complaint. This was something from their TRO motion.
Well,
who cares? Who cares? There is the affidavit. There's this practice, aldermanic courtesy, that would make Alderman Beal the decisive figure in this turn down. And don't we want to know why he did it? It seems like pretty strange business, this rezoning. Well, rezoning for a factory that no one wants.
Only the city council as a whole would rezone the property, and there has to be some showing.
Well, how do we know that? Maybe there is this aldermanic courtesy. You didn't put in any counter affidavit about the procedures of the city council.
On a motion to dismiss, we didn't think it was appropriate. Well, I see that my time is up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Powell.
Thank you very much.
So, Mr. Mock, I don't know if you have anything, but do you have anything further? Take a minute.
Just two quick points. Excuse me, just two quick points to clarify. The city ordinance says if a special use is discontinued for 18 months, then it can be voided. The city at all times had the continuous licenses. All they had to do was just look on their computer or look in their paper file and see that the licenses had been issued, and they had everything right there. So there was the argument that we had to go bring all our documents and get all our documents together is another specious argument.
I mean, what I think is the most vulnerable part of your case is the failure to ask for the special use permit because they had. The zoning, the city had told you you needed a special use permit. You didn't. But you could have gone to the Zoning Board of Appeals and said, you know, we don't need the special use permit. You should, you know, enjoin the city from doing this. Why didn't you do that? That's what I don't understand.
It was legally impossible. But do you mean for the period when we could have, when it was still zoned technically a business?
Yes.
We thought that was futile because of the policy. We thought it was unnecessary because
of the policy about the aldermanic veto. Or
yes, and then because we had a legal nonconforming use, we knew they had all the records. We would have discovered the records, propounded interrogatories, and said, admit that this has been a rooming house, and we feel they would have had to admit it or faced sanctions. But we never got to the discovery phase.
Wait, I've lost you. I'm back talking about why you didn't appeal the requirement of a special use permit. They ordered you to get a...
The business department simply said you can't have a business license because you need a special use permit.
Okay, they tell you that. And then what happens next?
You cannot appeal that because you can only appeal a zoning administrator's ruling
to
the Zoning Board of Appeals. So we couldn't have appealed that. But we were trying to work it out when the city sued us. August.
Are you saying there was... The insistent that you get a... Couldn't you ask for mandamus or something to make them... Well, I don't know. I'm lost. So the zoning... The city says you can't... The city says you need a special use permit. Could you go to the Board of Zoning Appeals and say they told us we need a special use permit, but we don't? So order them to you know...
There might be some procedure. The city hasn't really shown what it is, and I don't know what it is. And once they sued us, there was no point in trying to do that. We tried to negotiate with the city, saying, won't you at least respect FEMA? And you guys already know this. This is, we thought it was so obvious. But once they sued us, we said, that's where we'll pursue our remedy. We will file a countersuit saying that they have to give us the permit. And that's really, this case is that case continued.
Okay, well, thank you very much to all counsel.